So welcome, Paul.
Okay, so my talk is about extensions and maybe distributions. So as we will hear in the next few talks, Tickle 9 is approaching. Hopefully it's final release somewhere in the near future. And typically, Tickle extensions are an essential part of the whole Tickle TK ecosystem. So what I want to start with is are a few questions. Who uses just pure Tickle TK, no external extensions? Let's say, don't count threads or TDBC, which is part of the core. Okay, two, three, few people only use plain Tickle TK.
To use owns also, you have to ask, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, and the next question is who uses a Fugue extension?
Projects that use no extension.
Yeah, yeah, but in summary, of course, not looking at. So, who uses a Fugue question? I thought 1 to 5. Okay, that's more than nobody. And who uses more than, for example, 5 extensions? Okay. So, the majority uses at least some extensions or more than one. And yeah, one example of mine is my PO Apps Swiss Knife toolset, which has image comparison, image viewer, office automation, and lots of stuff with it. It uses 13 extensions for several extensions for image handling, for office automation, and of course, if you're writing a graphical user interface in TK, you will use scroll-util and table-list from Java. So what's my talk about? I have three points to talk to you. We have lots of extensions, and lots of people are using extensions, so we want to have these ideally all ported to work with Tickle 9. This talk would or should inspire people to help porting extensions to the new Tickle version. First, I want to give an overview and a short overview on the current status of my build automation with Tickle framework. That's nearly 8 years old. I think it was 2016 at the EuroTickle in Eindhoven, where I made a work in progress report where I showed the first results of this framework. Then I want to give you an overview of the state of extensions. I have around 90 programs or extensions supported by build automation. And I want to show you the current status. And then the last point is about, okay, some ideas and points I want to talk to you and for further discussion in the coffee breaks or in the state of Tickle and future. So what's the build automation with Tickle? I call it BOT in English. Well, it's just an simple, more or less, framework. In fact, it's just one Tickle script where you can automatically build C and C++ libraries on several platforms. Currently are supported Windows, Linux, Mac. And yeah, occasionally it also allows several Tickle TK extensions and programs and Tickle kits also. The principal framework is rather simple. You have the framework script, and as input you have the library source codes and the library build script. The library build script is also just a plain Tickle script which says how to build the library. Then you feed that into the framework with a so-called setup script or setup scripts, and you get as output distribution directory where all your tickle extensions are compiled and all the necessary files are input, or you can also generate some setup installation files for Windows. I have an example here using InnoSetup, where you have that example, that the batteries included a version of the board distribution. You have 95 packages and programs in that setup file, so you can install it on your own. So this is how build script looks like. So the framework has several stages. It works. And four of these stages, the extract, configure, compile, and distribute, you can choose on your own. If you have a, let's say, a tickle extension which follows the TIA rules, it's quite simple. You have in the build script, you have to write a proc, which is called build underscore and the library name. And then you say, okay, if it's the stage extract the library either from a directory or from a compressed file. If you have a TIA compliant extension, there's a utility proc in the framework which says TIA config, so that's just easy. And then you say, okay, you have the utility proc msys build, which means on Windows, build it with the msys GCC combination, or on Unix, use GCC and then a shell command. And in stage distribute, you can strip, for example, the libraries and then say the framework where to copy the output files to. So that's a typical build script. You have also, you need a init script where you have some information. The most important ones are the lib dependencies. So this is for the UDP extension, for example. This only depends on the tickle framework. So these information about dependencies are needed for two purposes. First, if I recompile tickle because of some changes, it also should recompile UDP. And also, it makes a check if you have a setup file and, for example, tickle wouldn't be in the setup file. It says, okay, can't compile because my dependency TCL is not in that. And you can also specify which platforms it should compile on, what are supported. So if you say all, then all of the platforms supported by board should work. Or you can say Windows, Linux, because, for example, this doesn't work on Mac. And the setup files are also just plain tickle files. And these can be hierarchical set of setup files. And the specification of one package or one extension is done by calling the setup function, where you have the library name. Then you have here the file where the source code is in it, and in that name also the version number is encoded. And you say, okay, which build file you use to configure and compile this package. And as it's just a plain tickle file, so for example, if you have some extensions because, for example, the MooPDF stuff, which is a PDF library, the newest versions need newer Visual Studio compilers, for example. So if I have a new Visual Studio version newer than 2017, I can use the new version. Otherwise, I have to stick to an old version of the PDF library. So that's a set of setup files which are currently available, but you can just write your own setup file and make your own distribution, so which libraries you need for your purposes. So that's just a example where which I am using for the current beer board setup. Then, because we will, the next talk will be about dependencies. As I already said, the library dependencies are specified in the build script. So you write the procedures at lib type dependencies. In the UDP, we had a very simple ones. For example, the board log viewer has some more dependencies, and you can get a list of all your packages which you specify, which packages they depend on, and the library version to be used, you specify in the setup script by hand. So you can have several types of setup scripts for older versions, for new versions, and so on. So just a short summary, what board is. You're here, you have the link where it's available. The last version is from last year, because I worked on TCL 9 readiness, which took some time. And one speciality of board is you don't need a TCL installation for running the framework, because there are TCL kits supplied. So for all, let's say, necessary platforms, for Darwin with ARM, for Linux, Linux on ARM, for Raspberry, for Windows, and for RISC-V systems, they are already prepared TCL kits, so you can use it without having TCL installed on your computer. So that's short introduction to what board is, and now to my porting experiences I have done last year. I started trying to port the extensions I already had in my framework when the TCL size problem was solved. So I made a first version once last year, and I now updated it. Now that we are using TCO 9, the first experience was with TCO 8.7. And these are, let's say, the main links to other people with porting experiences. So we have the two, let's say, maintained by core members, migrating scripts to TCL 9, and we have the migrating C extension to TCL 9. These are located in the core wiki, and Ashok, Harald, and lots of other core developers write their experiences and notes what you have to take care of. Then we have, let's say, Rolf's talk from last year, where he had written down his experiences porting the TCLLib extension. Then there is from, I don't know his real name, RPL Simple. He has some TCL extensions. He has also written down his experiences with moving to TCL 9. And this one, or my personal experiences, which I updated 2 days ago with relatively recent TCL and TK versions. And it's a large page where you also have these porting experiences, the porting tools, and then a long list of packages which I have looked on and which you have several columns where it says, okay, which version, for example, SWIC, I have applied patches and they have been accepted by the SWIC team. So we now have an official SWIC version supporting TCL 9. So it says, okay, ported version works. Here are some stuff, whether the build in my framework works, whether a simple package require works, and whether a simple test works. I don't run all module tests of all packages. That's too too far, and then you can here add comments, and that's a long list of all the extensions. Then we have a list of changes which I made in Tickle script, changes I had to do with C extensions, a long list, and then, oops, and then come all the packages I looked at and what changes I did. And this page I didn't write by hand, of course, but it's written in an Excel file, and the wiki page is automatically generated with a Tickle script, because programmers are lazy people, so they make it work. So these are the porting experiences which are available currently. Maybe there are other ones I don't know about, but these also get a good impression. Then there are porting tools, tools which help you migrate your Tickle script or Tickle extension to Tickle 9. One was already noted, by Gustav, sorry. That's from Ashok, based on Nagelfar. It has static and runtime analyzer, and I used it with success. I found several potential errors in my Tickle script using that Tickle 9 migrate script. Everybody who has Tickle extensions should run that tool over his code. It's quite easy to use. It's Ashok already also has written good documentation how to use it. Then there is for C, C++ extensions. There's a script or two scripts on the wiki, which I have published, I think, last year. And this one, this script finds all occurrences of functions you are using which have Tickle size as return value, input parameter, or output parameter. The script is also very easy to use. You say find Tickle size functions, and you give a folder directory, and then it prints out each file where it finds these functions using Tickle size in some way, and it prints out a list of all functions it finds in your, for example, here I have used Tickle TLS. So you can then look for these occurrences and change into Tickle size and other stuff. So this also helped me a lot to find these functions. And especially the output parameter are very interesting, let's say, or important to change. For return and input parameters, it's not so necessary, but you should look at all of these occurrences. So now, some summaries of what I showed you in that large wiki page. So we currently have, if I didn't do any errors by counting and measuring, we have around 30 extensions which are more or less Tickle 9 ready. So that's much more than we had, let's say, 1 year ago. Some of these are still, let's say, in alpha or beta release, but from the repository you see there is work done, or people are working on it, and we have a maintainer for it. That's very important. And I have looked, so these are the typically the names from the wiki. So you can, if you go to the wiki page, you also have this information, but and can look that up. So that's not bad. Then we have, let's say, the packages which more or less worked out of the box with Tickle 9, where it did not have to do any changes. Yeah, these are more or less just simple scripts, but these are also not maintained currently, as far as I noticed and found on the web. Then we have a large number of packages, which I have, let's say, adapted to make them work and compile, or at least compile. And they are typically started with the latest version and increased typically the patch version. And I did all these changes I said before, changing const and ANSI args and whatever had to do. And these compile and working and work in double quotes. That means I have some very simple test script which runs, that doesn't say the extension as a whole works, because it only tests one feature of an extension. So here we have lots of extensions which are typically either not maintained anymore, or the maintainer doesn't yet looked at the package to port it to Tcl9. But if someone thinks, okay, I need this extension and wants to step on it, go to my wiki page, there we see which changes I made, and go on with that. I will not do any more on these, because these are also extensions I'm not using personally. The extension I'm using personally, I already ported, or I know they have been ported, for example, Trapi and stuff like this. Then there are still several packages which even don't compile, either because I did not, the porting would have been too expensive, so I didn't do it, and or because of other things. One, well, these two, RBC and TKPS, are all packages which are often used, and you get often requests, and I would say the best thing is to use a new TKO stuff, which René will, I think, tomorrow report, and forget about the old RBC and TKPS. Use it in, if you are stuck to 8.6, use these. But if you want to go to Tcl9, use a new TKO from René. And then we have stuff which compiles, but if you run a package require or a test script, it doesn't work. These are several versions too. For example, UDP, I have made some changes, but it doesn't work. But I now looked up that stuff and thought, okay, there's a new version from Tcl UDP, but didn't have the time to test it yet. So that's the current status. If you want to, let's say, these separate tables I have extracted from the Excel document, this is also available. So if you want to filter by columns which ones are available or not, you can also download the Excel file and then look it up more easily as in, on the wiki page. So these are the porting experiences I've done with my build with automation, build with Tcl framework. And now, just for the final stuff, two slides. So what are the typical problems with TCL extensions? One is, and that's, makes it bad for people like me who wants to do batteries included distributions and stuff like this. The source code repositories are distributed over several sites: SourceForge, ChiselApp, CoreTcl, private stuff, or no repository at all, and so on. That's, from my opinion, the worst stuff. Then we have lots of Tcl extensions which work, let's say, with Tickle 8.6, but are not actively supported or don't have a maintainer anymore. Then, what's also bad for somebody who wants to make distributions, some extensions get, let's say, bug fixes, new features, but the maintainers don't release official releases. So it's difficulty. I had the experiences when using the framework at work, you only are allowed to have source code, you have to specify an official release number and so on. You can't use some trunk version XY and so on. So this is a, yeah, let's say, appeal to all maintainers to more often release official releases. Then lots of the extensions have either no or insufficient test suite, so that's bad stuff. And regarding binary distributions, we formerly had the active state stuff, active tickle distributions, and the teacup. Now there are only some more or less private projects available. One is mine, the build automation with Tickle. Then we have Ashok's Magic Splat distribution for Windows. Then the Andrew Wish, and so on. And yeah, these problems have been with Tickle since several years.
And don't forget about the Linux distributions at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So, finally, what can we do? My opinion would be, let's say, all of these packages which are currently, let's say, already ready for Tickle 9 or are in the process of working with Tickle 9, store them all in a central place. Should it be core TickleLang or GitHub? I don't mind, but one place where all these repositories can be found. Could it be, let's say, move the project to that repository or maybe just mirror it? But you have to have one access point where you find the source code of the extensions. Let's say other possibilities would be, of course, yeah, put more extensions, simple extensions, let's say, which are not dependent on other C libraries, into the packages supported by the core, where we have iTickle, TDBC, and stuff like this. Could we move more of these into the Tickle core supported packages? Here we also have the drawback that the release rate of Tickle TK core is very, very low. So if packages or extensions evolve, this wouldn't be a good solution. And the other stuff about binary distributions, this is getting more and more difficult and also expensive to solve due to the restrictive environments on Mac and Windows. If you don't have a official code signing and a signature, every binary you supply and the user downloads from your website says, oh, potential security risk, etc. pp. So can we find a solution for getting binary distributions ready and supportable? So that's my talk. If there are some questions. Okay. I think these stuff can be discussed in the coffee breaks
or in the panel later on. We will come back to that point. So thank you for the initial points. Are there any questions at this moment? Yeah. Even question machine Andreas tries to get to the coffee break. Georg.
So you mentioned at the start you have TCL kits, for PAVT, for Linux. Are they based on the GNU libc, or do you have also, let's say, Alpine Linux builds?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand. So, TCL kits have for ARM and for Intel.
It's a Linux version, but it uses a different C library.
Okay. Just using, they are built with standard GCC and use a standard C library.
Yeah. Yeah, what was said, there's big building work by Reinhard Max, who is a SUSE maintainer and is always doing a great job providing many packages for the SUSE Poo folks, and even the SUSE open build service is doing something like that. Okay. So
it would make your life also easier if you have a central repository to find the